If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. This is Todd Starnes, America's anchorman, your voice of truth and hope across the fruited plain. Welcome, everybody, and great to have you with us. And it is great to be back behind our big, beautiful, huge microphone. Wow, we have got a lot going on today, a lot of big stories to share with you. I got to say thank you to our good friend Chris Salcedo, and he did a terrific job yesterday. Thank you guys for giving him a warm welcome to the show. And I was on the road, well, after Tuesday's show, drove up to Nashville and had a bunch of meetings over at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I don't know, some 3,000, 2,000 to 3,000 religious broadcasters there. By the way, Secretary Pete Hegseth is going to be speaking tonight to the gathering, and many of you are probably wondering, well, Todd, why did you come back? Why are you not going to watch Pete Hegseth's big address tonight? And the reason why is because I want to hang out with you. So I came back yesterday and drove back, and it's so good to be back in the broadcast chair. You know, one of the things I noticed yesterday was this gathering, the president celebrating a Black History Month. And I know we have a lot of, I believe, have the largest minority listening audience in all of conservative talk radio. And one of the reasons why is our flagship station is in Memphis, Tennessee, which is the largest majority minority city population wise in the nation. And we just have a lot of folks that listen to the show. And I love that. I really don't care about anybody's skin color. But this is Black History Month. And the president was taking a moment to honor Black Americans. And, you know, one of the untold stories of this administration, and I hope that history will look favorably on Donald J. Trump when we look at race relations in America. Because when you see the people that are out there marching in the streets and clashing with the police, those are mostly, Dylan, what do we call them? The GOGs, the gals of girth.
Yes, the gals of girth.
They're all white. You don't see these massive crowds of Black people that are marching in the streets and doing criminal activities. No, those are the mostly overweight white women.
Yeah, overweight in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, yeah, exactly. Even in Memphis,
you'd be surprised how many white gals of girth we have here.
Yeah, they're not hitting SoulCycle. I'll tell you that much.
Not quite.
No. Oh my goodness, it's true though. And so again, President Trump has actually healed race relations in America, and even more so than Barack Hussein Obama. Obama did nothing for the Black people. That is, and by the way, that will never be written about in the history books. But you go around and ask the average Black person what they think about Barack Hussein Obama. No, they're like, he didn't do anything for our community. He didn't. He was all hype, that guy. He had, as a matter of fact, it was Donald J. Trump who actually gave money to the historically Black colleges and universities. Obama didn't do that. It was Donald Trump who did that. And when you look back through Trump's legacy, I mean, even back through Jesse Jackson, who just passed away, and even Al Sharpton, that grifter, but Trump was actually supporting their urban ministries and their organizations. Trump has been very involved in the Black community for decades, for generations. This was not something that just happened so he could, you know, get a badge and go and run for president. No, this was Donald Trump who was out there from day one. That's who he is. That's the Donald Trump that I love and admire. And I'm telling you that black Americans, they know when somebody's feeding them a line. And maybe we'll have some folks call in today and either affirm or reject my premise here. But one of the reasons why I think the black community appreciates Donald Trump is the man speaks his mind. He may not be polished in how he says things. He may not hedge his words. He speaks very directly to you. And you know if Donald Trump supports or does not support you based on what he's saying. What Donald Trump says goes. And that's why, honestly, let's broaden this out here beyond just black Americans. I think the average American appreciates this guy because Donald Trump tells it like it is. I will say this. I don't think everybody in his administration has that same attitude. And if they did, I think Marco Rubio certainly does. And Marco Rubio is just nailing. I think Pete Hegseth does. I think Hegseth is getting his legs under him. So I certainly think that's the case. And even I would say Pam Bondi. No, not Pam Bondi. What? No, Della, not Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi, yeah. There are some government agencies. I'll say Justice Department, Homeland Security to some extent. I think they've overstepped the mark that Trump wanted them to do. If DHS had done what Trump told them to do when it came to the illegal immigration roundup, I don't believe we would be having the issues that we're having out there. Because Donald Trump is a master communicator. Donald Trump knows how to go in there. He knows how to deal with the issues at hand. Keep in mind, deporting the illegals, the number one issue on the minds of American voters. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And when you see those leftists out there, what is it? The leftists, they always lie. The leftists always lie. Because the polling data is very clear that the American people, Republican, Democrat, Independent, want the illegals deported. It's that simple. So yesterday, there was this really fascinating gathering at the White House. And one of the ladies who spoke, her name is Felicia Cook, and she's a resident of Washington, D.C. And she's been through it. She's lost loved ones to the violence on the streets of Washington. And for generations, black leaders have been saying there's nothing they can do to stop the violence on the streets of Washington. Their own people saying there's nothing we can do. Well, Donald Trump comes in, the white guy, and says, you know what? We're going to fix this, and we're going to fix it now. And guess what happened? It got fixed. I want you to hear from Felicia Cook. Take a listen.
I like her. Please.
I like him, too. One thing I like about him, he keeps it real, just like Grandma. I appreciate that because I can trust him because he tells exactly how he feels and what he thinks. Thank God for this president. I am filled, my cup runneth over, because he allowed his constituents, his people, to come to my house to interview me, to talk about the murder of my grandson. It seemed like nobody cared. I'm an advocate for murder. I marched. I rallied. I pulled out other families in the District of Columbia that had murders and did not have answers. Ooh. We marched and we rallied, and nobody heard me, Democrats. Get mad at me. Until this Republican sent his constituents, his people out there, to interview me in my home. Have you ever heard of a thing? Then they invited me twice before Congress to testify for the beautiful bill that's going to change crime in the district. If you kill somebody, okay? You take a life, you do life. Just that simple. If you do a harsh crime, you do harsh time. Just that simple. And then we need National Guard, and which we did years ago. He brought it on. I love him. I don't want to hear none you got to say about that racist stuff. And don't be looking at me on the news hating on me because I'm standing up for somebody that deserves to be stayed up for. Get off the man's back. Let him do his job. He's doing the right thing. Back up off of him. And Grandma said it.
Yeah, Grandma said it. Yeah, you don't want to be messing with Grandma. Yeah, look, I think a lot of people in the Black community, Hispanic community, and the white community feel it the same way that lady feels. And there is, look, that is real. That is authenticity. And what you saw in the White House yesterday, that was authentic. Those were Americans who finally have seen a man in the White House delivering for their communities, as opposed to the Democrats of years past that have just been blowing smoke and spewing fertilizer. That's all they've done. I want you to listen to Alice Johnson and what she had to say.
President hears you. This president cares for you. Don't let anyone tell you that this president right here, Donald Trump, is not for Black America, because he is. I'm standing here today as a testament to how he feels about Black Americans. There has never been a position like this. I don't know if there ever will be before. But I worked with him in his first term, and I'm proud to now officially have the title to make it happen. Let's get real with the realness. Let's get behind President Trump, who truly has turned our nation around and made us the envy of every country in the world. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, God, for recognizing and raising up this man to be the leader of the free world.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Alice Johnson is from right here in Memphis. And you want to know the legacy of Donald J. Trump? In just a few short months, Memphis could have the very first Black Republican county mayor. You've got two Black men that are competing in the primary for the nomination on the Republican side of the ticket. That is Donald J. Trump. That is the legacy that Trump is leaving the Republican Party. And I know there are a lot of people that just get all nervous about that. No, don't get nervous about it. Get excited about it. And when I say that people are getting nervous, I'm talking about the establishment people, the country club people, the people who want to have the elite Republican Party, the folks who want to have the black tie and ball gown affairs with just a small number of the rich and the famous. No, that's not the kind of party that Donald Trump is building. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump's a wealthy man. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump is a well-dressed man, and once he likes wearing the tuxedos. And if you've been to an event at Mar-a-Lago, you know that, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if that is your focus as a political party, you will lose every single time. So instead, the Republicans, the establishment, they need to change their mindset when it comes to the grassroots. And I'm talking about working class Americans. I'm talking about middle class Americans. I'm talking about Black Americans and Hispanic America. I'm talking about Americans. We have got to have a big tent party. And whenever I see Republicans trying to downsize so that we can be elite, we can be hoity-toity. That is a losing philosophy every single time. Instead of spending $50 on apple teenies, we need to be spending $50 to get out the vote and get people to the polls on election day. We've got to do our part, and that's what Donald Trump is doing here. Donald Trump is literally bringing that message of the American dream to the entire nation, not just the elite. So what a great event. Thank you, President Trump. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing what Barack Hussein Obama and the Democrats have never done before. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Now, an old family favorite, rejuvenated by the artificial intelligence of Minnesota Public Broadcasting.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for my neighbors who just got here. They just got here. It's not the neighborly way to send them back, rounding them up in ICE attacks. Would you be kind? Won't you be kind? I've always wanted to have a neighbor like Rajiv or Rahul, who put 24,000 new kids in our local school. So let's make the most of this beautiful day before Somali daycares all go away. Would you be kind? Pretend that you're blind. Everyone's your neighbor. Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you hide your neighbor? Hello, neighbor. I've been thinking about wintertime in Minneapolis, a time of snow and sweaters and frozen water bottles. Have you ever been cold? So cold that you thought you could turn someone else into ice? That wouldn't be neighborly of a fellow Minnesotan. And Governor Waltz and our mayor won't be able to protect you from the consequences. What are consequences? Consequences are what happens to people who snitch on those who are different, who are different. Like Somalis who make their living off the government for enrichment, for enrichment. So don't mention the criminality of those who are here illegally, and you won't have to face the consequences. Nobody likes bad things to happen to mommy and daddy or little sister, because nobody likes a snitch. Next time, we'll go to the land of make-believe to see how Mr. McFeely is transitioning into Mrs. McFeely. Bye-bye.
Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently, I made the call to PhD Weight Loss. And it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900 or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Have you noticed, by the way, yesterday, Ash Wednesday, and it's also the start of Ramadan, which are overlapping. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that Ramadan apparently takes precedent over Ash Wednesday? So many politicians, including Republicans, are putting out these statements celebrating Ramadan and the start of Ramadan, but they're not saying anything about the start of Lent. So have you noticed that, or does that raise a concern? I mean, there are some lawmakers that are even out there celebrating the Chinese New Year. So they're celebrating the Chinese New Year and Ramadan, but they're not saying anything about Lent. They're saying nothing about Ash Wednesday at all. And again, I think it's just another, I know it's, people are going to say, Todd, you're just nitpicking. You're a nitpicker today, Todd. Come on. No. I'm just saying these are small little things that you have to pay attention to, because there is an effort within the culture to marginalize Christianity and to elevate Islam. I mean, it's out there. And we had Dr. Michael Youssef on about a couple of days ago talking about that very issue. But I'm curious if you noticed the number of lawmakers that are out there celebrating Ramadan. Some of them are Baptists, too. What's up with that? All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Crazy story that's going to make you happy coming out of Kansas. Susan Humphreys, a state rep, is going to join us. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and the MyPillow employees want to thank you for your great support this past year, and they're looking to make 2026 the best year yet. And as a thank you to my listeners, MyPillow is offering exclusive free shipping on your entire order at wholesale pricing. That means they're bringing back the mega sale exclusively for my listeners. For example, the classic MyPillows, normally $49.98, now marked down to only $14.98. Turn any mattress into the best mattress ever with the Made in the USA MyPillow My Mattress Topper. Save up to $100. Get a set of MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $29.98 or the six-pack towel set for only $34.98. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or give them a call, 800-839-8506. These offers won't last long, so call now, 800-839-8506, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS. Order now, and your entire order ships free. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching to the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax. It's true, by the way, millions of you are now watching Newsmax, including our great president. We have, of course, Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, yours truly. So if you're really tired of big media, legacy media, you really need to start watching Newsmax. It is absolutely free to start. You can go to NewsmaxPlus.com and get immediate access. You're also going to have access to all of the president's important live events exclusively, and you're going to get some other great specials, including watching Governor Mike Huckabee's or Ambassador Mike Huckabee's Israel special, our Melania documentary, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk specials, and of course, as we enter the Easter season, the movie Jesus of Nazareth. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Well, there is a major story brewing in Kansas where Republican lawmakers are standing up for the rights of young women across the state. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend, Susan Humphreys, a state representative and a great American patriot. Susan, it's been a while. I hope you're doing good.
It has been a while. Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's set the stage here. The governor vetoing some very important legislation. They're calling it anti-transgender legislation. Is that how you would frame this?
Hardly. It's not about that. It's about women and girls being in spaces that they feel safe and comfortable that men may not enter. And the same on the other side, too. Men go in men's spaces, women go in women's spaces.
I mean, it really is common sense, and I know so many religious liberty groups are standing alongside of the Republicans there in Kansas. Now, the good news here is, of course, the governor vetoed it, but it's my understanding that you guys, is this true, the Republicans have super majorities in the legislature?
We do, in both the House and the Senate, yes.
All right, so tell us what happened here. So the governor vetoes your legislation, and what happened?
Well, she waited 10 days, which is the longest she can wait, vetoed it on a Friday afternoon or whatever, and then we came back and overrode it in the Senate on Tuesday, and then in the House yesterday on Wednesday. So we got over the two-thirds majority, or two-thirds that was needed to override her veto.
I understand the Senate President, Ty Masterson, said the override, quote, restored sanity, and said the governor's veto was actually very dangerous. Do you agree with that? And if so, what is dangerous about the what the governor tried to do?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Probably no one has actually read her veto other than a few of us in Kansas, but it was really, she didn't talk about the merits of the bill. She kind of ran through a list of horribles that could happen if this bill goes into effect, and they were all fictional. It didn't make any sense. You know, this was a well-crafted bill, well thought out, But the reason she vetoed it, we didn't get a good reason why she vetoed it. So it was, you know, we had quite a bit of debate on it, but then happily we were able to override the veto and sanity prevailed.
I want to, and I'm reading from the Topeka Capital Journal, so if they got this wrong, you have to just jump in here. They say the new law prohibits transgender Kansans from changing the gender marker on their driver's license and directs the Department of Revenue to invalidate licenses that have had a gender marker. The law similarly applies to birth certificates. Is that accurate?
Yes. So there were two parts to the bill. One part had to do with markers on your driver's license and birth certificates. And then the second part had to do with the multi-occupancy spaces had to be designated in government buildings as either male or female. So, yeah, there were two parts to it. And in Kansas, your driver's license and your birth certificate now need to say the sex that you were born at birth.
I am stunned by the governor's statement, because you're right. She does not address the merit of the legislation, the merits of the legislation. And I want to read this. She said, not only will this bill keep brothers from visiting sisters' dorms and husbands from wives' shared hospital rooms, it will cost Kansas taxpayers millions of dollars to comply with this very vague legislation. How do you respond to the governor?
It just made no sense. It was just crazy. And it's really important to note, too, when she mentioned that it was going to cost taxpayers money, there's really a minor fiscal note attached to this. We're not requiring any government building to build any new bathrooms. You don't have to do single occupancy bathrooms. You just might have to put a new sign on the door that says this one's men and this one's women. The objections we've had to the bill they've thrown out everything they can think of, but none of it is sticking because it's not really true. They're not true objections.
So the Republicans are not going to ban grandpa from visiting grandma in the nursing home.
No, it's really clear in the bill that when we're talking about private spaces, we're talking about, locker rooms, restrooms. We say it could be these or it could be other things, but it's clear that the list is private spaces where there might be someone in, you know, undressed to some degree. So it's restrooms, locker rooms, that kind of thing is what's mentioned only.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Room is Susan Humphrey. She is a state representative in Kansas. Susan, I'm curious about your constituents. What are you hearing from the average Kansan?
Well, I get mixed. I do think the side that would be against this bill, they have quite a grassroots organization going. So I do get things from, you know, mostly letters that seem cut and paste or emails, whatever. But I've had a lot of people also reach out to say, thank you for doing this. You know, this is the right thing to do. This is clearly what we want in Kansas. So it is mixed, but I have heard from both. And I've had a few constituents that truly have maybe a reservation, but I've been able to talk to them. I mean, they're concerned. What if I have a disabled child, or what if I need to go in the restroom for some reason? Well, we have all those exceptions in the bill, that if you need to render assistance to someone, you can do that. You can accompany someone who might need extra assistance or whatever. So when I talk to people, I can really alleviate their concerns about it once they understand what's really in the bill. But there's just been so much misinformation out there.
Yeah, and it's all coming from the Democrats, and I have to imagine the mainstream media as well, which is why we're so glad you're on this program. We broadcast on a number of shows across Kansas, and I think people just need to hear the bottom line. And this is a pretty common sense thing that you guys have done as Republicans.
Yes, and societal norms. That we said, this is societal norms. This is how it's always been. Men are supposed to go in the men's room, women in the women's room. And yesterday during the debate, that was brought up, that, oh, we don't want to keep the societal norms. It's It's crazy, and it is actually a very partisan issue here. There was one Republican that crossed over, but otherwise 87 Republicans voted yes, we should override the governor's veto, and 37 on the other side.
Mm. Well, we're glad you guys did the right thing. Susan, we're going to have to leave it there, but congratulations, and thank you for standing up for young girls and young ladies across the great state of Kansas.
Thank you so much for having me. We appreciate so much what you do, Todd. Thank you.
The great Susan Humphreys, everybody. She is a state representative in Kansas. Well done, Republicans. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you do it. That they're demonstrating in Kansas, when you've got a supermajority, you lead. And that's exactly what they're doing there. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, I've been getting a lot of mail from you folks about the social media influencer wars. Dylan, have you been following all these battles between all the Candace Owens and Tucker and Megyn Kelly and Steve Bannon?
A little bit, yeah. I see here and there.
I just have one question. Yours truly, I don't consider myself to be a social media influencer, but we've got a pretty big following on social media, and our engagement this month is like 32 million people. So, but I don't consider, but people are, I don't say they're influenced. We just give folks the facts. We share with them, here's what's happening, and you get to decide your position. I don't tell you how to think. Some of these other folks, they want to tell you, they want to play with your mind. They want to do the mind games with you. We don't do that on this program.
Yeah.
So I'm catching hell, Dylan, because I haven't weighed in. Todd, how come you haven't weighed in on Steve Bannon? Do you support Jeffrey Epstein? Is that the reason why? Why should I have to defend Steve Bannon? Has he been on this program? No, he has not. Have I been on his program? No, I haven't been on his program. Why should I have to defend or go after Steve Bannon or any of these other folks? Why would I want to do that? I can tell you this. I did read the emails, and they're disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And I'm not buying what Bannon and his crew are selling, but why should I go after, I don't have a lot of time on this program. And I'd much rather talk about issues that you care about, not Megyn Kelly or Candace Owens and all those folks. But there is a story, and we've got to get this out there because there is a report coming out of Tucker Carlson's crew that he was detained in the Israeli airport and he was held without reason. And it turns out that is just simply not true. And our good friend, Ambassador Mike Huckabee, set the record straight. So here's the deal. Tucker claims he and his staff were detained at the airport there, I believe, in Tel Aviv. And Tucker said, or at least, here's what he said in a statement to the New York Post. Men who identified themselves as airport security took our passports, hauled our executive producer into a side room, and then demanded to know what he spoke to Ambassador Huckabee about. That's what Tucker's alleging. It was bizarre. We're out of the country now. Now, Tucker Carlson is anti-Israel. You can call him anti-Jew or an anti-Semite. I don't know the man's heart, but he's clearly got issues with Israel. So Governor Huckabee responded to all of this, and he said, look, here's the deal. Everybody who comes into and out of Israel, every country for that matter, has passports checked and routinely asked security questions. The ambassador also shared a statement from the Israeli Airport Authority denying all the accusations that Tucker's entourage were denied, delayed, or interrogated. The statement reads, Mr. Carlson and his party were politely asked a few routine questions in accordance with standard procedures applied to many travelers. The conversation took place in a separate room within the VIP lounge solely to protect their privacy and to avoid conducting a discussion in public. When Carlson arrived, he posted a photo of himself and his business partner, Neil Patel, in front of the airport, captioned, Greetings from Israel. Wow. So there you have it. Tucker, by the way, on the record is saying, quote, I dislike Christian Zionists more than anybody. So Tucker doesn't like people like me. And I am a supporter of Israel. I don't apologize for that. I've always been a supporter of Israel. Ambassador Huckabee's always been a supporter of Israel. I know many evangelicals. As a matter of fact, when you get away from the Jew-hating social media influencers, most of America, most conservatives and most Christians support the nation of Israel. They are an ally. It's really unfortunate how all of this is playing out, because this has meant somebody is clearly paying these social media influencers to change their opinions on these issues like Israel. But to go out there and just flat out lie about it, which is exactly what happened. I remember when our team, 2019, we were in Israel, and some members of our team were pulled aside, and they were asked questions. What are you doing here? And that's how things go. Dylan, your grandmother was a part of our crew. You know, they pulled her aside. Ma'am, why do you have a gallon jug of Pepto-Bismol in your luggage? They asked her, seriously, it was like a big, big jar.
I'm not surprised, yeah.
Big jug of Pepto-Bismol.
It's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's
routine.
Well, Uncle Jerry, you know, he doesn't do well with foreign food. Got to have some Pepto. But and it became a big issue. I mean, we almost missed our connecting flight because we were stopped over the jug of Pepto-Bismol, which I did not know you could make a jug of Pepto-Bismol that big. But does that mean that, like, there you go, Israel hates Todd Starnes? No, they're just asking legitimate questions. Keep in mind that most of the countries in the Middle East want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So you know what? I can understand why they're a little curious about who they're allowing into the country and whether or not that really is Pepto-Bismol in the big jug. Look like a Milo's tea jug, like a gallon of Milo's sweet tea, except it was Pepto-Bismol. How'd you get that in there?
It's concerning. It's a little concerning. Yeah.
Jeez, Alou.
She needed it.
Got to take a break. I am sorry. I'm talking your ear off today, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
In his new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza brings the new Middle East into focus with a message of perseverance, faith, and a shared global destiny.
Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
Israel and Christians are coming together in a way they have never been before, since the Book of Acts.
But is this the end of Hamas and radical Islam? What does the Bible say?
We have to become fighters in the spirit for God. We don't accept what the enemy wants to do with our culture. We don't accept what he wants to do with the nation. If we keep fighting, we win.
Powerful, prophetic, a must-see movie based on Jonathan Cahn's international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy, combines history and scripture with faith, justice, and renewal. The Dragon's Prophecy, a new film by Dinesh D'Souza, now available on Amazon, YouTube, and iTunes.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up, we have a great conversation with Congressman Randy Fine. You know, he's come under fire for saying what needs to be said about these Islamists. And it's a really bad situation this country is in, because we are being overrun by the Islamists. And the reality is, all of you Presbyterians and Episcopalians, and I'll throw you Lutherans in there, you folks need to start having more babies. I mean, I would embrace your inner Mormon or Roman Catholic, right? Even the Catholics. You know, you guys were having, what, 5-6 kids at one time, and now people are barely having like one. So the problem here is the Islamists are procreating at a faster rate than all of you Christians out there. Y'all got to get to it. You know what we ought to do, Dylan, is we ought to just start sending Barry White music. Barry White baby making music.
Well, send it. You want to send the music?
We should. I think we should. We should do our part. Maybe a scented candle.
Yes.
Set the mood.
Some roses.
Set the mood for America. Oh, yes. We can get, what is it, a Pew's Flowers.
Pew's Flowers. Mm-hmm. Yes. They lead to the bed.
They deliver. Okay, that's a little too far there.
Hey, you said it.
You just made our Baptist audience blush.
You said you want more babies. What do you want me to say?
The Baptist. That's not how babies are born. There's a stark involved. And dancing.
We can't do that.
No, dancing since a sin. You're not allowed to dance. No. Or play cards. Or drink liquor. No wonder we're not having babies. All right, we got to get out of here. Hour two of the big show coming up. Put us on the prayer list. I know.
This is the story of the one. As an HVAC technician, he and his digital multimeter are in high demand. So when a noisy office HVAC turns out to be a failing blower motor, he doesn't break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product information, he selects the product he needs to keep everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour two of the show underway. Again, thank you to our good friend Chris Salcedo filling in yesterday when I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Pete Hegseth is going to be speaking later this evening. By the way, all you folks there in Georgia, President Trump is in town. The president is going to be talking about the economy, delivering some speeches across the state. Going to be a lot of fun. So hope all of you folks. He's going to be in Rome, Georgia. Now, this is interesting because Rome, Georgia is the hometown, or at least in that area, of Marjorie Taylor Greene. So the president is certainly going there to make a statement. He could have gone anywhere in the state of Georgia. I know you good people in, for example, Dahlonega, which is where they had the first gold rush in Georgia. Dahlonega or Helen, Georgia, or Gainesville, you guys would have loved to have had President Trump come to town, but he's coming to Rome, Georgia. And this is going to be interesting. There's a reason why. And, of course, the Republicans wanting to make sure that is a still going to be a Republican seat come the midterm elections. There's a big story that's brewing in the state of Oregon. And I know we have a lot of listeners out in Oregon. And the federal the Department of Education is launching a federal probe into the school system there in Portland, Oregon, over civil rights violations. Now, the complaint filed with the Department's Office of Civil Rights accuses the school of all sorts of things. And it's going to, and again, we're going to get into this with our next guest. Her name is Sarah Parshall Perry. She is vice president and legal fellow at Defending Education. Sarah, good to have you back with us. I hope you're doing well today.
I am doing great, Todd. It is always great to be with you.
Well, let's talk about what's happening in Portland. Why are you guys concerned about what they're doing there in the school system?
Well, the Supreme Court's made very clear on not just one but many occasions that you cannot discriminate on the basis of race in publicly funded educational formats, whether that's K through 12, or whether that's higher education. And we have a ton of case law on that, from Brown versus Board of Education, all the way up to Students for Fair Admission versus Harvard in 2023. They have said repeatedly the way to stop discriminating on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. Well, Portland seems to have forgotten its constitutional and civil rights primer, because what they've done is allocate a $1.2 billion, with a B, bond for the development of something called the Center for Black Student Excellence. Now, you ask, everyone wants excellence. Yes, we do. But we want it for all students. And in a season where Portland schools are facing a $50 million budgetary shortfall, Portland Public Schools has decided to allocate $1.2 billion of a public bond, including the purchase of a $16 million facility to house a, wait for it, Black-only center for its education initiative. Now, I don't know about you, but you don't have to be a lawyer to recognize the fact that you can't discriminate on the basis of race in any publicly funded program. We caught wind of that, recognized it wasn't just poor fiscal management, it was poor racial politics as well. We drew it to the attention of the administration in December, and we just learned 2 days ago that they are planning on opening up an investigation to see exactly how bad the situation is.
So I want to make sure our listeners understand here. So this center for, it's the Center for Black Student Excellence, and you're talking about, what is it, $1 billion? That's just an insane amount of money. But would white students or Asian students or Hispanic students be allowed to be a part of this center?
Not at all. And here's the irony, Todd. And of course, when we play politics with race and we pick and choose among certain groups of individuals and certain students based on immutable characteristics like the color of their skin, we're bound to see nonsensical results. Only 17.6% of Black students in Portland are reading on grade level at third grade. Native American students and Hawaiian Islanders are actually reading at 16.5% and 17% respectively, which means two other minorities in Portland schools are actually doing worse than their Black student counterparts. That doesn't seem to make a lick of difference to Portland public schools, and apparently the taxpayers don't mind playing politics with race and utilizing their taxpayer dollars to fund a center designed to permit, allow, and enhance the success of only one group of students. That is odious to the Constitution and the colorblind nature of every one of our civil rights laws.
And Sarah, I mean, this has got to be a huge win for you guys. I know that you, that Defending Education, your organization filed that civil rights complaint last December, and now the education secretary is stepping up and saying, yeah, we've got to look into this.
We feel really gratified. And in fact, part of what we do as a national watchdog, and I oversee all of our litigation and our civil rights complaints, is file complaints like this when we notice that there are discriminatory actions transpiring in public schools. Now, for the reality of American school kids, 90% of them will be products of public education, either for reasons of geography, finances, or home situation. They will need to go to public schools. My boys did. They both had special needs, and so they needed civil rights protection only available in public schools. And so we try to make sure, we've always got our ear to the ground, to make sure that all of those federal benefits are being doled out in a colorblind, race-neutral, sex-equal manner so that every American kid, all of whom deserve an excellent education and all of whom need to be on or above grade level in reading and math, can actually succeed.
One of the things I love about your website, and folks, write this down, defendinged.org, defendinged.org. And Sarah, you guys literally have what's called an indoctrination map. And it's got the entire country, and it's shocking the number of instances where there have been reported cases of indoctrination in the classroom. And a lot of people think, oh, this is only happening in the big cities. That is clearly not the case.
You're absolutely right, Todd. I talk to everybody I know about our indoctrination map. It is one of our, I think, best resources for parents. You can search by state. You can search by type of incident, whether that's race discrimination, whether that's gender identity, whether it's curriculum from which parents are not allowed to opt their children out. We want to make sure that we're cataloging everything we can find in American public schools because, as we know, wisdom is the key to these children's future, not only from the standpoint of reading, writing, and arithmetic, but the wisdom of the parents to know how best to be involved and informed about their child's education.
I know this is slightly off topic, but there has been a lot of outrage among parents who sent their kids to school, and then they realized their kids are not in school. Instead, they're out on a street somewhere protesting ICE. There's a video that's gone viral on social media where a teacher is in a classroom coaching kids on how to say blank ICE in an assignment. Sarah, you know, what can parents do here, and do they have rights when it comes to, you know, these schools sending their kids out to become part of these huge protests?
You know, that is a great question, Todd, and we actually just released a report indicating, and it is a cross-sectional report of 702 public school districts, all of whom have sanctuary city or anti-ICE policies. These are express policies. You can find these in the guidebooks, the handbooks, you can find them on the website, who are actually working, as you mentioned, to turn their students into activists. They are not interested in educating. They're interested in indoctrinating. For my part, as a parent, I would want to know, I would go to defendinged.org, search for our newest report on where you find those sanctuary city policies in public schools, see if your school is impacted, and then I would go directly to the principal and ask, when are you planning on hosting an opt-out for us? When are you planning on hosting a protest? Get the information together, because you as a parent have a right under the Constitution's 14th Amendment to make sure you get your children out of those activities that conflict with your sincerely held beliefs.
And that is the key here, is invoking the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th.
That's exactly it. That's what guarantees that every student is going to be treated equally regardless of who they are. We have seen it come up again and again at the Supreme Court. In fact, it's one of the issues right now that the Supreme Court is going to be considering and has heard oral arguments on in the women's sports cases. Remember, these are the two cases coming out of Virginia, West Virginia, and Idaho specifically related to whether or not you can separate sex by biological sex, works by biological sex. So the short answer is, of course you can, because boys and girls, men and women are different. That's how you guarantee athletic equality and equal opportunity. But we've seen previous administrations, notably the Biden administration, turn that notion on its head and try to create new subclasses of students, like those based on, for example, gender identity, and say, well, they need to be able to participate in accordance with their gender identity, not their biological sex. We submitted amicus briefs in both of those cases. We're looking forward to a just resolution, but at bottom, the principle remains the same. Treating one group better, differently, giving them more privilege, more opportunity, better funding than another, always results in another group of students being discriminated against, and that, under our American system of laws, is illegal.
Wow. Well, Sarah, we appreciate you guys are on the case, and there is so much. There's just really a wealth of information over on the website, again, defendinged.org. Sarah Parshall Perry, thank you for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, as always, Todd.
All right. There you go, everybody. Wow, what a crazy story out of Portland, where they're going to spend well over $1 billion of your tax money to create a Center for Black Student Excellence, while other minority groups are actually doing worse in their academic careers, and they get nothing. They get nothing at all. And I'm with Sarah here. You've got to, the idea that we're literally segregating our public schools, I thought there was an entire movement back in the 60s to stop that from happening. Unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Good to have you back with us. So there is a principal in Pennsylvania, Wilson High School. Daniel Weber is the principal. He's one of the good guys. And finally, there's a principal who's standing up to these little thuglings, and that's what we call underage thugs and thuggettes. The thuggettes, by the way, the female thugs. We try to be, we don't get their pronouns right all the time, Dylan, but we try to be, fair.
I think it's appropriate.
And a thugling is like a little, a little thug.
Yeah. It's less harmful, but still a thug.
Not for example, and by little thug, I don't mean a midget thug. I mean a,
young.
Young thug.
Youthful thug.
A youthful, thank you, a thugling.
No problem.
Like a little, you know, what do they call them on the farm? So, anyway. No. The principal, Mr. Weber, cracking down. Here's what he told a bunch of thuglings as they were about to protest.
You go back to class and we're good. If you stay out here, we will get your names. You will be suspended. Okay? That is your option at this point. Because you are operating outside the bounds of what was granted. That event was canceled. You left school without... You left school without permission. Your rights do not supersede the school. So if you understand that, that is your option. If you wish to return... Dr. Damiani will let you in that door over there. If not, I will be getting your names. You will be suspended, okay? Those are your options.
What are we doing?
All right? Your rights do not exceed that of the school.
Well, there there you go. Way to go, Mr. Principal. And you know what I would have done? You see, he's a kind man. He's gracious, giving them a second chance. I wouldn't have given them a second chance. I'd have locked the doors. And then I would have had law enforcement come in and round them all up for, I don't know, trespassing. But it's beyond me that you've got all these kids and they're out there. And by the way, these kids are like throwing things at civilians. They're jumping in front of cars. As a matter of fact, there's a story out of West Palm Beach, Florida, where a student was hit by a car while marching in one of these anti-ICE protests. And the kids are, the poor driver remaining at the scene, so the driver didn't do anything wrong. But I hold these teachers accountable. I mean, just think about this. What would you do? Just think about this for a moment. Your kid comes home and starts dropping the F-bomb everywhere, and you're like, where did you learn how to talk? Where did you learn how to talk like that, little Billy?
Well, the teacher taught us. We learned how to do slam poetry, Mommy.
And they're teaching these kids how to curse, literally curse. It's the most unbelievable thing I've seen. But your kids are not learning anything anymore, folks. These public school classrooms are being used to indoctrinate your kids with the most horrible stuff. And by the way, they're teaching your kids to hate Donald Trump. That's what's going on here. So if it were up to me, and this is what needs to happen, back in the day, Dylan, you had principals, and I don't care if you were in elementary school or even high school, they were armed with paddles. Do we have any Gen Xers in our audience? Can any of you testify to the fact that your principal walked around, patrolled the hallways with a paddle? Ours had a fiberglass paddle, and it had holes drilled through, so there was no cushion of air. So when paddle met bottom, it was boom. It wasn't boom. It was boom.
I think my principal had his name engraved in his.
And I guarantee it was tattooed on your behind after you got a beating.
And then you get home and your parents also tattoo your behind.
That's right.
Yes. Which was worse.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes you got it twice as bad.
Yeah.
But today, I'm not even sure a lot of these limp-wristed educators could even wield a paddle. I mean, because it's got to be, boom, it's got to hurt. You've got to put the fear of God on somebody's behind. That's what they got. But nowadays, you've got these little limp-wristed soy boys out there, and they're like, boom, 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 just going to give you a little love tap, boom. Come to think of it, I don't want principals giving children love taps. Yeah, that's not a good look.
You lose respect because you're trying to be friends with the students and not a principal or a parent.
I want them to feel like they've got a friend. No, these kids don't need friends. They need a monster in that principal's office. But the fear of God in these little thuglings. That's the problem with this country. The kids, nobody's afraid of anybody except for the kids. Have you noticed that? Or maybe that's just me. I'm telling you, that's the problem. The kids fear no one. We ought to be hauling these kids. We need to be throwing them in the slammer. Forget about the local county jail. Send them to prison. Let mom and dad pick them up there. Let them spend a couple of hours in the tank with a bunch of the The cartel members come out smoking cigarettes and drinking booze with a tattoo on their face. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. And again, you Gen Xers out there, if you've got a school paddling story, I'd love to hear it. I know Tom is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Texas. By the way, I'm going to be in Houston next Wednesday speaking to the Republican Ladies Club, their luncheon at the Villages there, the Village Republican Club. Love to see you come out. It's going to be a lot of fun, I believe, at the Houston Racquet Club. So you guys can get tickets, information on the Patriot Talk website. Tom, I understand you've got a paddle story.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm not a Gen Xer. I'm a baby boomer. And this goes back to the 70s. I was also a Catholic school student. And me and a bunch of buddies were hanging out in the boys' room, just laughing and having a good time during class, and it was determined we were too loud. We were sent to the principal's office, and the sister, you know, a nun who was our principal. Her name was Sister Gracilia.
Oh.
But we referred to her as Sister Gorilla.
Oh.
Because she was a German girl, about 6'2". And easily 230 to 40 pounds.
That's a lot of nun right there.
Boy, she could put the spirit up in you. And she didn't have no vanity about it. We all had to lower our pants. We kept our underwear on. But she had the paddle with the holes cut in it. And all of us got force watts. And if you tried to jump away from it, well, then she had a chance at another one.
Oh, sweet Lord.
And then one of my friends, he was always trying to get away. Sister Gorilla, tied him to a handle there on the door so he wouldn't move, so he could get his full four measures.
You good understand? Lord, man. This is a Catholic school?
Amen, brother.
Wow.
Holy Father, Son, and Ghost, too, right there.
All right, Tom, what a great story. Jeez, Lou. Thank you for calling in. We've got Luke Symbol here, our great Republican strategist. And, Luke, again, with these kids, they're running around. They're causing all sorts of chaos. And the principals, by and large, have been telling everybody to stand down.
Yeah, the teachers stand down. The principals stand down. That gentleman's story shows you, I say this all the time, the Catholics know how to educate. And it's because they're strict, they're firm. You sit in your seat. If you act out, you get a paddling. You know, by the time I was in school, there was none of that allowed. And they, you know, you got sent to the principal's office and they gave you a soft talking to and then you were on your way.
I remember watching the Blues Brothers when the nuns had the rulers, and sometimes they're like yardstick rulers, and they would wrap, you know, they would wrap your knuckles.
Yeah.
And they didn't mess around.
Yeah, I went to an evangelical Christian school. There was no knuckle paddling there, but
I think they were doing it on God's behalf, so it wasn't like child abuse, right?
No, they would just send us home, and then I had to wait in my room till Dad got home from work, and that was never a good thing.
You see, we had always heard, I'm a Baptist, so we had always heard about the nuns,
mm-hmm.
and I can't imagine a 6'1" nun coming at you with a fiberglass paddle.
Oh, golly.
I'd be speaking in tongues. I mean, oh my gosh, that's insane. Luke, we've got the midterm elections coming up, and I still feel as though the Republicans are going to pull this off because the Democrats are in just complete disarray, and the Republicans, I think, have a fighting chance. What say you?
I totally agree. We're starting to feel the economy kick into full gear, and you've been saying this, Todd, for a while now. You've been saying it's all about the economy. It's all about what people are able to afford. Can they afford their groceries, the gas, the utility bill? And the economy is roaring back to everybody's surprise. I mean, even the most positive outlookers are blown away by what's happening. I think it's very positive. We have Americans getting hired again for work. We have manufacturing jobs coming home. And if that big, beautiful bill does in fact, if the effects of that do in fact kick in, I think we do have a fighting chance. And we need to focus on the issues that people care about. And that is the economy, that is crime, that is education, and the Republicans are winning on all of those issues.
How big of an issue is it going to be? Let's just say everybody wins the race they're supposed to win in the House, so Democrats and Republicans. You've got a situation in Virginia right now where voters are going to have to go and they're going to have to decide. And the way the question is posed on the ballot is insane. And, you know, it's talking about, do you want fair elections? Well, of course, everybody wants fair elections, but that's not what is really being decided here. If you vote yes, you completely eliminate all but one Republican congressional seat. And if that is the case, Republicans lose control.
Yep, we lose control. And suddenly something like 40% of Republican voters in Virginia are totally disenfranchised. It's ridiculous. And then you have states like Indiana where the Republicans can't have a backbone to get one or two extra congressional seats. We are in the fight for our country, folks, and Republicans have to stop having no spine. They need to get a spine, and they need to do what needs to be done so that we maintain control.
Yeah, this is a concern, and there's nothing we can do about Indiana. It's too late. There's nothing that can be done there. So the only thing we can do is educate the good people of Virginia. I know we have five or six stations here that carry this mm-hmm. show, and we're getting the word out as best we can. But that's the caveat there. You know, if that happens, and if California goes through and eradicates their Republican districts, I know what Texas is going to do here, but I'm not sure Texas, those congressional seats are guaranteed for the Republicans.
Mass migration to Texas is a disaster.
It's almost a purple state.
It is almost a purple state. You drive around now the suburbs of Dallas, and you are seeing more and more folks who don't speak English from countries from very, very far away, mosques popping up at every street corner. It's Texas is really a disaster, and we have got just folks have got to wake up. California, you know, Texas today was California 30, 40 years ago. I mean, we're going to lose Texas. And I agree with you. And states like Tennessee, we have a supermajority Republican legislature. Let's look at eliminating a Democrat seat here.
Well, there's only one.
There's only one.
There's only one. Talking about you, Steve Cohen.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Cohen's in the fight for his life right
now. Well, he sure is. And look, that is the other big issue, is that as radical as the Democrat Party is now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
When you look at the Virginia gubernatorial race, that Democrat tried to run as a moderate. Now, Republicans were saying, no, don't believe her, don't believe her. She tried to run as a moderate, and the minute she gets in office, it's this far leftist policy disenfranchising Republican voters. That's the first thing any Democrat is going to do. No matter how moderate they sound, they are radical. Radical leftists.
Luke Semple joins us here in studio, a great Republican strategist. You look at what's happening in New York City right now, mm-hmm. Luke, and it's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. First of all, you've got people that are enraged that the snow was not removed. Now you've got just, you know, doggy poo all over the place.
The trash mounds at the
trash.
Street.
And now they're being told, well, we're going to have to raise your property taxes by, 9.5%?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks as though there are going to be layoffs in the New York City Police Department.
It's a disaster. And I know you lived there for a long time, Todd. People from New York are so upset. And again, Mamdani was only elected because of our immigration policy, because of our legal immigration policy, by the way. And so we've got to look at this. We are electing un-American, non-Americans. Not only are they not Americans and they don't understand the fundamental rights of the country, but they're anti-America. And it is solely because of our immigration policy. And you look at some of these apartments for sale in Manhattan and in Brooklyn, folks are trying to get out and they cannot sell. They're going to lose 50-60% of what they purchased their apartment for.
Well, the problem is, and you know, we were talking about Texas and all the people migrating into Texas. The problem in Tennessee is that you've got people from California and New York migrating specifically to Nashville.
Yes.
And so Nashville has become really a radicalized city. And I know it's sort of hard to believe, but the guy in charge is the quintessential soy boy snowflake. Freddie O'Connell is his name. And the property tax increases that are hitting people there in the downtown area especially. One guy says his property tax is going up from, I think, by $500,000, and he's not the only one.
You're right. And so I saw a stat this morning. Nashville has grown in the past, let's say, 10 years, about 13 to 16% in population. The spending from the government has gone up 83% in that same time period.
Is that right?
83%. And I'll tell you, Todd, we are a super majority Republican state in the legislature, but you go to Nashville now and you walk through a park and you're stepping over trans homeless people like everywhere. It's a bunch of men in dresses sleeping on the sidewalk, and we can't even enjoy our parks because they are overrun. And you know, I think it's a shame that we have a Republican in the governor's mansion and a supermajority Republican legislature, and they're letting this happen. And so Republicans, wake up, be like a DeSantis or something, speak out about this, and then get the job done. And we have a gubernatorial race here in Tennessee this year, and I hope that the candidates are talking about it.
You've got the Acme Feed and Seed. Their property taxes last year in 2024, $129,000. Now nearly $600,000. Honky Tonk South, which is owned by Kid Rock, went from $209,000 a year to $765,000. Friends in Low Places, $397,000 to $839,000. And Honky Tonk Central, $81,000 to $348,000.
Democrats cannot govern. They cannot govern locally, in states, or nationally. And it's the local municipalities that are hit most. And unfortunately, Republicans have turned in, the Trump voter have turned into these quote unquote low propensity voters, which means they really only come out every 4 years. And we have got to educate folks that these local elections are so vitally important, and local Republican parties, we need you to start stirring up the controversy and alerting the populace that these local elections are even more important in many ways than national elections.
I mean, you know, and the challenge here in the Nashville area is that these businesses are going to have to shut down, or they're going to have to pass along those costs to the tourist. You think a tourist is going to come to Nashville and buy, I don't know, a $30, $40 beer? Because that's what's going to happen. The same thing's happening in Las Vegas. And what happened? The tourists are stopped. I mean, they can't find people that want to go to Las Vegas anymore. It's just too expensive. And the same thing's going to happen in Nashville.
It's unacceptable. And these poor small business owners are having to eat so much of this cost. They're having to move out of their hometown. You know, if you're from Nashville and you started a small business, you're now having to move because you can't afford to stay.
So the guy who owns Acme Feed and Seed, which is kind of like, I think, a restaurant or bar now or whatever down there, he's spent 40 years. I mean, this is not some fly-by-night guy coming in, you know, and trying to make a buck.
Not a carpetbagger.
Right, not a carpetbagger. Yeah, he's not a Yankee. He's coming in, and he spent 40 years of his life, and he reached out to City Hall. Nobody returned his call. The local Fox affiliate reached out to the mayor, and they said, what do you want me to do about it? This is the exact quote from the Democrat mayor of Nashville. It's not up to me whether he keeps that business open. The market evolves. New businesses start even as beloved old businesses close. Well, the city is the one forcing these businesses to close. They can't afford these taxes.
What the mayor is saying, I don't care about you, native Nashvillian. Ugh. You've been here for too long. You're probably conservative. You probably cling to your God and your guns and your religion. We want somebody else to come in and take your spot. That's what he's saying. I don't care about you, is what he's saying.
It's a replacement theory.
That's exactly
in
right.
Some form of it.
That's exactly right.
Wow, this is just, and it's really sad that this is happening, but it's happening all over the country.
Yep.
And I know that if it's happening in Nashville, it could happen in your community as well. Which, again, is one of the reasons why I've been begging people, stay in your hometown, stay in your state, don't come here.
Yeah.
We're full, and you fight for conservative values in California. And I'll give you an example. In California, the latest polling, you've got Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco, two Republicans leading their guerrilla primary.
Yep. And, you know, Steve Hilton is a great example. Just being unafraid to carry the message. He is taking a lot of flack from the mainstream media, from the New York Times, from the Wall Street Journal, But he is unafraid and saying, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to go out there and carry the message. That's what we need across the country. Charlotte is another great example. It used to be a beautiful, small city, and it has been so overrun due to mass migration, legal immigration policies, people moving out of the north, that you go through Charlotte and it has no identity anymore. Has no culture unique to itself.
And another example of that is in Georgia, where you had rock-solid red northern mountain communities that are being overrun by radical progressives that are moving to the mountains and turning them into like hippie enclaves.
Yeah, look at Asheville, North Carolina is another example. You're exactly right. These small towns are turning into hippie enclaves. I like that. And suddenly you have increasing homeless. You have, like I said, in Nashville, you have the trans homeless people you have to walk over. You can't enjoy your parks anymore. The public schools are going down the tubes. And our communities are being overrun, and it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
It's okay
and
to
help,
say no.
Help me to understand, trans homeless are those people who have houses but identify as homeless, or are these transgender people who are?
They are men in dresses that are basically on drugs and sleeping on the sidewalk.
Oh, geez, alone.
Yep.
All right. Luke Semple, always good to have you on the show.
I'm happy to bring the sunshine today.
Appreciate that. Jeez, Lou. All right. We got to take a break here, and we will be taking calls from Gen Xers. If you remember the almighty paddle, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926, Anthony in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Anthony. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to comment. I enjoy your show. And I'm down here at Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point in Havelock. If I understood, I wanted to comment on your story about the school teacher. If I understood right, he says that the school policy supersede the Constitution. I'm a disabled veteran. I fought and bled for my Constitution, and I cannot agree with his idea that his school policy overrides the Constitution. I believe the Supreme Court has already ruled on that several times, that students don't share their rights when they enter a school. And I'm all for the discipline and stuff like this, but I just can't agree with his idea that he has jurisdiction over the Constitution.
Well,
that just don't sit with me.
Well, he may have misspoken here, but let me ask you. So the students should have the right just to decide on a whim. You know what? We're gonna boycott today. We're gonna do a sit-in in the principal's office because that's our constitutional right to protest.
Yeah, now if they're disturbing the school or disturbing the purpose, that I think that's beyond constitutional rights. What I'm debating is his idea that you don't have free speech in a school because I'm the principal.
Well, it's sort of, I understand, yeah, I think the principal misspoke there, but, you know, again, we're dealing with kids that are disrupting school. They're getting up, they're marching out of their classes, and if that is protected under the Constitution, you're going to have chaos in every school in America. When the kids go to school, that's where they're supposed to be, and if they don't, well, that's a violation of the law, which is where the truancy laws come into play. Anthony, God bless you. Thank you for listening. We're going directly to our phones in the next hour, so don't hang up. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This story out of Coastal Carolina Community College in North Carolina. Are you folks familiar with Coastal Carolina Community College? They're hiring a bunch of leftists over there. I believe this is in Jacksonville, North Carolina. That is the talk station territory. If you folks are familiar with Coastal Carolina Community College, we're going to work on getting this audio that's just come out. Someone secretly recorded a professor in one of the classrooms. And Dylan, I'll send this over to you, and we'll try to get this turned around so you'll be able to hear it for yourself. But the guy, the professor, raging about President Trump, raging about the late Charlie Kirk, the professor called the president, Donald J. Trump, a fascist dictator, and Charlie Kirk a racist piece of blank. He says it's the end of democracy because educators got fired for celebrating the assassination of an innocent American. And once again, a reminder that this is what your tax dollars are paying for. We'll bring that to you just in a matter of moments. Meanwhile, you have principals that are beginning to stand up and push back against these kids that think they control everything. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with America, is that everybody's afraid of the kids. Parents are afraid of the kids. Teachers are afraid of the kids. Principals are afraid of the kids. The school boards are afraid of the kids. Kids, they're not afraid of anybody. They just go out there and, I mean, they're literally getting in the face. I've been watching just dozens of videos of these kids that are getting in the faces of the cops. Would you have ever imagined that you would have done that back when you were a kid? I don't think so. Anyway, want to go to the phone lines. A lot of you wanting to weigh in on this. 901-260-5926. Let's start in Northeast Georgia. Connie listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Connie. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? It's nice to talk to you today.
Well, thank you.
I was a principal for a while. After I taught for a while, was a principal for a while. And I had a very interesting experience with a parent. I had a really nice young lady. She had twin boys. They were in kindergarten. And my kindergarten teacher was a little person, not much bigger than the kindergartners, but she was a great teacher. But these little twin boys, they were full of mischief like you'd never believe, and they did not know how to sit still. Their mother was doing her best that she could. We'd send a note home, and she would punish them. And finally, she came into school one day, and she said to me, she said, "Dr. Smith, she says, it's just too late in the afternoon till I get home to spank these little boys. Would you spank them when they need it?" And I was taken a little aback because I never had a parent ask me to spank their child before. But I says, if it's all right with you. And so I sat down with my team, and we worked out some rules, and we had the parent sign in agreement with the rules. And so the next time these little boys got out of hand, one of them picked up a chair and threw it at his teacher. So we marched him into the principal's office, and we followed the rules that we had agreed with the parents. And he got 3 smacks. And you know what? I guess how many times it took to get that little boy into order.
I bet after smack number one, he had a revelation.
He did have a revelation, but it took 2 times. The third time, all the teachers said, "Do I need to call Dr. Smith?" "No, I'm good." And those 2 little boys, they just straightened right up, and they are just wonderful young men. We're still friends on Facebook, even though I'm retired now. But those little boys have grown up to be wonderful men. But kids need to know where their limits are.
You know, Connie, when I'm watching these pictures, and it's really a dangerous situation. I know in Asheville, the kids at this hour, A.C. Reynolds High School, were literally running into streets. I mean, with active, you know, these are active streets. And you've got, I mean, these motorists, they don't know. I mean, it's not their fault. You know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But you've got these kids that are just running out unsupervised. As a former educator, what goes through your mind when you see you've been seeing these videos?
It's just heartbreaking. I know I have 13 grandchildren of my own, and my children are doing a pretty good job raising them, teaching them respect for others and respect for property. I worry about the world that my kids and grandkids are going out into.
It's shocking. But again, I think there was a time, you know, I graduated in 85, but I remember when I was in school in the early 70s, you know, you knew right from wrong. And the parents, and of course, times have changed, but, you know, the school would call and say, all right, little Todd did something wrong. He's going to get paddled. And then, you know, you would get it twice as bad when you got home. But there was, you know, the parents were affirming the discipline of the school. And it's necessary for a lot of kids, you know, because you're right. They've got to understand the boundaries.
Yeah. And kids today don't know what boundaries are.
Sometimes, yeah.
All what's going on in the Congress, you know, with these talking about big tech companies and the putting rules in place to keep kids off social media. And I think, where are the parents? Take the phone away. Just be a parent. Stop trying to be your child's friend and be a parent.
Well said. Sometimes you just got to beat the devil out of them. All right, Connie. Thank you for calling in. No, it's not child abuse. No. This is setting boundaries for your kids and understanding that there are consequences in life. I mean, that's what this is all about. Let's go to Memphis. Lee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hey, Lee, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I'm from the 80s, too. So, you know, I got to paddle in school and, you know, I turned out all right, you know, in the military and so forth. But there's two particular incidents. This one coach had a plexiglass paddle. And it had holes in it, so when you swung it, it'd be more aerodynamic. It'd sneak it behind you. If you were in a locker, you weren't supposed to be in pile. And then we had a principal who had a thin leather one and a thick leather one. The thin leather one was for your hand, and the other one was for your backside, and you got to choose, and if you got hit in the hand, sometimes you got hit in the wrist, and it'd be a welt on there. So that's the problem with kids today is, you know, they just, it all started with the timeout stuff.
Those kids don't need timeout. They need a good swift kick in the behind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where it all started to go downhill, was timeout.
Lee, I think you're right. And from there, you know, you had all the psychologists coming in and say, oh, it's really not little Billy's fault, you know, that he's a spawn of Satan. You just have to deal with it. That's not how we did things back in the day, is it?
No, it sure isn't. But also, you know, on the flip side of that is that some of these schools, these inner city schools and so forth, you know, kids ain't like they used to be either. They're more dangerous. You know, you see plenty of videos all the time attacking the teachers, physically attacking them, beating them up, hitting the principal. And so now, you know, I don't really think without you getting attacked, the kid's going to let you spank him on the rear end or more. Maybe not the older ones, you know, maybe like the older ones, but.
Well, even and you risk now the third graders, you know, pulling out a pistol and trying to shoot you. So, I mean, it's a problem. All right, Lee, thank you for that call. Let's go to John in Gainesville, Georgia. Hey, John, I understand you got a paddle story.
I sure do, Todd. You're a great American.
Thank you, sir.
I grew up in a small town in North Texas back in the 60s and 70s. When I went to grade school went all the way through sixth grade. And my sixth grade teacher paddled me 31 times, I believe it was.
31 times? Good Lord, man.
During that year, and to this day, he's still my favorite teacher of all time.
Why is he your favorite teacher?
I deserve the paddlings I got, but I just really liked him. He was a really good teacher. He was an ex-basketball player. He was like 6'5". But what he would do, Todd, on Fridays after lunch, he would close all the blinds in the classroom, close the door, and turn out all the lights, and he would read us an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Oh.
And I'll never forget that. It was just awesome. But I got paddlings all the way up through high school.
Well, I mean, again, you said you deserved them, and how did you turn out? You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, that's going to scar a kid for life."
I guess I turned out all right. 20 years military, and doing fine, you know.
Well,
I had a shop teacher in seventh and eighth grade, and he was about 6'5" and about 300 pounds. And when he paddled somebody, he could lift you off the floor.
Jeez, Lou.
Want to get paddled by him.
No. I think you just described Kane, who's now the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
Right.
Holy smokes. Well, John, I'm glad you turned out okay, my friend. Thank you for calling in. Wow, did he say 31 times, Dylan?
That's a lot of paddling.
That's a lot of paddling in 1 year. That must have been a rough year for old John.
You got to learn your lesson, I guess.
You got to. All right, do we have that audio? This is from Coastal Carolina Community College. Libs of TikTok just shared this, and I know we have a lot of listeners out on the coast. This is what your tax dollars are paying for in the classroom.
That is unfortunate that it's come to this. It is, in my opinion, fascism. It is, in my opinion, a dictator trying to take over a country that is a democracy. And in the country that we supposedly believe in freedom of everything. I mean, it wasn't that the whole stupid Charlie Kirk thing, why people were getting fired is because they, you know, didn't like him, but he's the First Amendment warrior. Isn't that why professors got fired for saying he was a racist? Which he was. Did he deserve to die? No. But he was a racist. And Turning Point USA is a racist organization. I will say it. And they just started a group on this campus. And it's people like them that are coming into these classrooms and recording us, trying to get us fired because they don't agree with us. That's it. That's it. And so I'm not going to talk about this anymore, but if you didn't know that was what was happening, wake up, people. Wake the hell up. This is the end of a democracy that you are seeing firsthand.
All right, so I just have a couple of things and a couple of thoughts here, and I'd love to hear from our listeners in that area of the country, Coastal Carolina Community College. So my question is, does the guy have a right, the professor, have a right to use his taxpayer-funded classroom to spew this kind of hate? What happens if there are Turning Point USA members in that professor's classroom? Are they going to get a fair shake? Are they going to get a good education? And also, exactly what sort of a class is this? Why isn't the professor actually teaching what he is supposed to be teaching? Why is he using class time to attack President Trump and to attack Charlie Kirk and to attack Turning Point USA? It seems to me at some point you have to step back and we have to have a conversation. What exactly is community college for? Are we paying for this guy to get up in front of a class and turn them all into what, members of Antifa? Is that, are we obligated as taxpayers to fund this sort of nonsense? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. And again, this news, Libs of TikTok posting a secret audio recording that was taped inside a classroom at Coastal Carolina Community College, and the professor going on a rampage, a tear, profanity directed at President Trump and Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA students. Let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina, and Bill. Bill, what's your take on what's happening at that college?
Are we on the air?
You're on the air, Bill. Let's go for it.
Okay. All right, quick. Fire him. He's angry at something, okay? Don't know what it is, but first of all, I don't want my tax dollars paying for him to get up on his pulpit. Right?
Well, right now, that's exactly what's happening, Bill, is that, and again, I'm just curious, and we don't know what sort of a class this is. We're going to find out who this person is, and we'll find out what class this was. But regardless, those kids are not only are they students, they're paying customers. They're paying their good money to learn and to be educated, not indoctrinated.
Absolutely. That's the problem in this world, right, in the country right now. I'm almost 65 years old, Todd. I listen to you all the time, right? I'm a retired government employee, and I'm kind of scared now. I don't need news. People will hear me. But, and they listen here. But I have friends that are school teachers, public education school teachers, and I'll tell you right now, we don't talk politics because we're not on the same sheet of music. I blame the government education. I came here when I was in starting the first grade, right, to get an American education. And I did. I had to go from a brogue to a twang. Instead of staying as a little boy, why don't you say to play? I had to go with, y'all want to go outside to play? I had to assimilate, okay? But when I went to public education here, we did the prayer at least once a week. We did the Pledge of Allegiance every day. And when I got my citizenship at 29 years old, I was in that line in L.A. that goes 2 miles around the building, standing there to just get my citizenship. So, yeah, it irritates me seriously when they waste my tax dollars.
All right. Bill, thank you for that call, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Carol in Georgia. Hi, Carol. I understand you're a community college teacher?
Yes. No, I'm not. I just am a citizen of the United States, and I don't like what this guy said at all. I have grandchildren his age, 21 and 25, and you know, for a community college professor to be protesting that, and like, you know, it irritated me. He has no right to use his classroom like that, and I think he should be fired.
Carol, we got you down. Let's go to Boyd in Georgia. Boyd, what say you?
Yeah, hey, Todd. I just want to mention I grew up in Rome, Georgia. Went to a Darlington High School, which was a very, you know, it's a private school, but I had amazing teachers. Had a teacher in the seventh grade, geometry teacher, that would play classical music for our class if we're making the grade. And also had another teacher, you go outside and play kickball, you play math football, you do things like that. When I went to a community college, I had a poli-sci class and in political science. The main thing the teacher in 1979 pointed out to us, you're going to hear all about Russian propaganda, but the United States is one of the most propaganda-driven countries in the world. And he said, you need to look at it from both sides. Yes, this teacher should be fired. I'm glad he's getting pointed out, and he does not belong in any of the schools.
All right, Boyd, good pithy comment there, my friend, and thank you for listening. Thanks for calling in. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, this story out of Utah, this is just awful. A 9-year-old boy was ordered by his teacher to wipe the ash from his forehead on Ash Wednesday. The family reached back out to the school, and they said, what is going on here? Have you not read the Constitution? And the teacher said, no, I haven't. I have not. So now the school's apologizing. They said, well, could you imagine? Okay, anyway. That's unfortunate and a very sad thing this little boy had to deal with, but there you go. All right. I've been telling you that I'm on this very long-term weight loss journey. So far, 12 pounds. It's not going as quickly as I want. I've just been on the road, and it's hard to get into the routine. Heading out today and heading to the hopefully to get 5 miles in. I'm doing the walking right now, and who knows? Maybe after I chunk down a few pounds, I'll be able to start jogging again. But anyway, one of the ways I'm able to do that is through Calitrin, which has been so, so helpful, but also through some of the other products, and I use all of them now. You've got Balance of Nature. You've got Field of Greens. Now, Field of Greens gives me that little extra push. Most people, I know you guys don't like going to the doctor, and you don't like getting your physicals, but you got to do it. And people are always afraid of what the doctor is going to discover, right? So that's why you need to make this one change, and your doctor is going to notice it right away. It's called Field of Greens. Field of Greens is designed. Every single fruit, vegetable that goes into Field of Greens is selected to support your cells and your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and also help with your weight loss. In fact, a university study found that people who added only Field of Greens saw measurable improvements in key health markers. Just one change literally changed everything. And that's why I want to encourage you to check out Field of Greens. And your doctor is going to notice the difference. And if your doctor doesn't, Field of Greens is going to give you your money back. So you've really got no excuse here. So here's what I want you to do. Go to fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code STARNS. That's fieldofgreens.com. Promo code STARNS. You're going to get 20% off your order if you use my promo code. And I'm excited. Look, when we hit the 20-pound mark, 25-pound mark, we'll have a little celebration. Maybe we'll order cheeseburgers or something. No, we can't do that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I told you that Congressman Randy Fine, who is known as the Hebrew Hammer out of Florida, is just really upset over these Muslims, these Islamists who are wanting to ban dogs, ban man's best friend. And they believe, and I was pointing out on Newsmax a few days ago, is that they're going after Scooby-Doo and Snoopy and Clifford the Big Red Dog and Marmaduke. And they're saying these animals are unclean and people should not be able to have them as pets. And Congressman Randy Fine said, well, given the choice between a Muslim and your pet dog, he said it would be an easy decision for him. And he's catching all you know what over that. And there are calls by the Democrats to have him censured. But, I mean, again, we went through this and we had somebody who disagreed with me on Newsmax the other day. And I said, what exactly did he say that was Islamophobic? What did he say? Because when you go back and listen to what the Islamists and their scholars are actually saying about dogs, they do not like dogs. So anyway, we had a conversation with Congressman Fine. Let's take a listen.
Joining me now, Congressman Randy Fine, a Republican from Florida. Congressman, good to see you. How do you respond to all those dog haters out there?
Well, look, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that Democrats were going to take the side of those who want to kill all of our dogs, I would have told you you were crazy, but they never cease to disappoint. The fact of the matter is the disgusting behavior we should be looking at is Muslim activists who got Mamdani elected telling us that we should not have our dogs, that we have to submit. They come here from overseas, and then they tell us we have to change what it means to be American to make them happy. We have to give up their dogs. That's not how this works. And I simply pointed out, if I have to choose between my dog and a neighbor who says I can't have one, it's not a hard choice. I'm going to choose my dog.
Yet Nardine says she was just joking around, Congressman. Do you buy her explanation? She was just joking around?
So you read the tweet. I don't think there's anything about that that is funny, sarcastic, or anything. And I would note she only made that statement after 2 days of being lit up for her comments. Now, that's just typical taqiya after a Muslim gets caught, you know, doing something that they shouldn't have done. She's lying. She meant it. And the thing that people should know, and one of the things that my tweet has elevated, her view is not an uncommon view. I'm not criticizing Islam here, but Islam does not believe that dogs are haram. You won't go to Muslim-majority countries and see dogs as pets. That's fine. There's certain animals that Americans don't like that other cultures like. But the issue is this. If you want to come to America and not have a dog, that's fine. But you don't get to tell me I don't get to have one. That's the difference between submission and everybody getting along. So she's not saying something that is an abnormal view in mainstream Islam.
Well, here's what AOC had to say about this. She responded on X saying, this is genuinely one of the most disgusting statements I have ever seen issued by an American official. It should not stop shocking us that the Republican Party openly embraces this. Fine should be censured and stripped of his committees. To ignore this is to accept it and normalize it. Again, I'm trying to understand what exactly they're upset about. Because you're simply defending man's best friend.
Well, I can tell you, it's not enough that Democrats believe that every single person who wants to come to the United States illegally should be able to do that. It's not enough that when they get here, we shouldn't give them every free thing they want, free housing, free money, free healthcare, free school. Now they accept Americans to change our lives to make these new visitors comfortable. That's what they're upset about, because I'm not willing to simply submit and allow America to become Sharia compliant. There are 57 countries that are Sharia compliant in the world. If that's what those people want, they can move to one of them. My job is to make sure we do not become number 58.
Well, all I can tell you, I live in Memphis. We are the barbecue dry rub capital of America. We draw the line at our pit smokers, Congressman. That's where we draw the line. I do need to bring up something, though, because this is not unique just to America. There is a raging debate about whether dogs should continue to be a part of British culture. Back in 2024, the Sun newspaper reported on a government study, and they said that dogs should be banned from the countryside over concerns that canines might offend minorities. And the story went on to say religious minorities. Congressman, where should we draw the line here? Because there's been a lot of capitulating to the Islamist over these years. Where do we draw the line?
Well, the offending minorities they were talking about were Muslims. They're just trying to be politically correct. I appreciate you showing that article because it makes my point. What we saw from Nurdine or whatever her name is not unusual. This is a mainstream view of their religion that dogs are offensive as pets. And so they've given up in England. I mean, if you look in the parliament, they've had debates over whether cousin marriage should be legal, because not making it legal, they define as Islamophobic. We can see where this leads if we look at Western Europe. We don't want that here. And so I think it's a very, very important thing for us to all be talking about and be fighting against.
It's a fair point. Congressman, you take care of Old Yeller, and I'll take care of the baby back ribs. Together, we'll save America.
That sounds good. Congressman.
All right. There you go. What a mess. Did you ever imagine that we would even be having this sort of debate in America? But that's where we are right now. All right. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, just a reminder, head over to Amazon and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's going to be out in April, but you can pre-order a copy today. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, and you're going to love this book. It's a fun read. It's a long read. I think it's almost 300 pages, so it's a lot of content, and I want you to read this. I want you to get a pre-ordered copy, and again, you can do that going to Amazon right now, and check out The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Jamie, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jamie. What's on your mind?
Hey, I've got a lot on my mind, but I'm going to pull a Ellen DeGeneres and a Rosie O'Donnell. I'm ready to leave the United States, and it's not because of Trump. It's because of the Democrat and the far left and their crazy ideology.
What is it about their ideology that wants you to leave the country, Jamie?
Everything. The dog thing, the DEI thing, the money going to other countries, the money going to those countries inside our country. It is totally out of hand.
Well, Jamie, I think, look, I hear your frustration, but I think we have to stay and fight for our country, because there's really no other place for us to go. I mean, there's no other country like America. Even Rosie O'Donnell, as much as she hated America, you know, she snuck back in. Was it last week? I was reading where Rosie, she left us, went to Ireland, and now she's back again. So even the leftists understand, you know, it doesn't get much better than America.
I get it, but all we can do is vote.
Yes, and that...
Okay, well, when they cheat and our vote doesn't count, what are we supposed to do? Donald Trump can't do anything because they won't let him. The road judges and everybody, they stop him at every turn.
I want to disagree with you, but I can't, because what you are saying is true. And the challenge we're facing is that Republicans in the Senate, they don't want to nuke the filibuster. They don't want to do what is necessary to protect our elections. And if that's the case, then we're going to be in big trouble. I still think that we're going to be able to the Democrats are in such bad shape right now, Jamie. They are having it's really not even a civil war. It is all out survival for one side or the other. And I think the radical progressives are going to win the day. And if that happens, Jamie, I do think the Republicans are going to win, because the average American will be so repulsed by what the Democrat Party has become. I mean, at least that's what I'm hoping for. But you're not wrong in your concerns.
I'm totally repulsed and have been for the last 6 months. But anyway, I know you're talking about the dog, and no one comes before my dog except my family.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, Jamie, because I lived in New York City, and I know that most liberal women on the Upper West Side and in Brooklyn and on the Upper East Side, they have dogs. And there's no way Zohran Mamdani's going to be getting their dogs. I mean, you could, if it keeps getting as bad as it's been in New York City in just the first couple of months of his, well, really just the first month of his mayorship, do you realize that, I mean, the entire city could vote Republican?
I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, I know the dog.
I have another question.
Yes?
I have another question. It doesn't have to do with dogs. It has to do with everything. Can I ask?
Yes, ma'am.
Why haven't we seen his so-called fiancée pulled before Congress or the House?
What do you mean?
The Russian lady that he had a call with the night of his death.
Well,
that he had a 33-carat diamond for her. That he left a ton of money to. I haven't seen her anywhere. I haven't heard of her until recently. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure we're ever going to get to the bottom of what happened with Jeffrey Epstein and all of these allegations. I do know this, though. In other countries, people are being arrested for what they did in those files. I think even Prince Andrew has been arrested in the UK. But nobody's been arrested here. And I think one of the reasons why, Jamie, as awful as it is, and I don't know if you've read any of the files, they're horrifying. As bad as it is, I don't think anybody's going to be punished. And the reason why is because very powerful Democrats, and I hate to say it, but very powerful Republicans are going to protect people. And I think they're all bought and paid for, Jamie.
So tell me again why I shouldn't leave the country?
Well, because I'm going to tell you, Dr. Pepper.
I mean, you're giving me reasons to.
Dr. Pepper and dry rub barbecue.
There you go.
Will that
I'll
work?
Go with that.
All right, good. And, you know, we got Billy Graham. All right. Jamie, hang in there. Don't leave just yet. We need you. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to Bob in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about Coastal Carolina. I do believe that's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, right outside of the Mecca there of sun and sand kind of thing.
This is the Coastal Carolina is in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Okay, maybe there's another one then.
That may be.
But in that case, I mean, yes, there are professors out there that take up class time that profess their beliefs, trying to change the mind of their students. And, I mean, it's been going on for quite some time. And, honestly, I think that's part of the reason, it's my opinion, but I think it's part of the reason that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, because he was exposing their indoctrination process, and the kids were changing their mind and going against the professors. So,
yeah, Bob, I and we got a bad connection. I'm sorry about that, Bob, but I... Look, do I believe the narrative the way that Charlie's assassination has been presented? I just have a lot of questions about it. I don't think the information we've received is all there. I'm not very confident that the FBI did their due diligence, but I do think that this environment, and I think there could be something to that. Charlie was a very powerful individual, whether he knew it or not. I think he did. But this was a guy that was seriously looking at running for the White House in 2028 and probably could have won. And I think there are some very powerful forces that wanted to make sure that did not happen. And you can extrapolate from that what you want to, because literally this is just my opinion of it. But I'm just, you know, the way it's been presented, far too many questions. Far too many questions. All right, folks. Wow, the 3 hours has gone by incredibly fast today. I haven't even gotten to half of my stack of stuff that I wanted to talk about. So fortunately, we have tomorrow, which of course is Open Line Friday. So you'll be able to bring your own thoughts, your own opinions, and you'll be able to phone in as well. Don't forget Amazon. Head over there and pre-order a copy of The Golden Age: How Trump Saved America, my brand new book. Coming out in the spring, but you can pre-order a copy right now. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great one. You be good, America.